going to talk a little bit today. This passage from Paul is one of the places where he mentions some of the women in ministry, especially Eunice and Lois, which are Timothy's grandmother or mother and grandmother. He talks about their faith, and we're going to talk a little bit about the faith of the mothers of Scripture this morning, and just take this day as it's kind of a special day to do that. We're talking about Christian mothers' faith and their legacy, and these are all important. I know in my life, and many of you can give a testimony, how many of you are probably in church today because of your mother? How many of you are here today, primarily? I know in my life, many of you know my father was a minister, my grandfather as well, my mom's dad. But in spite of all that I learned from my father and my grandfather about teaching and preaching and about all those works of the church, they might have trained my mind and my lips for ministry, but it was my mother who taught, who trained my heart for Jesus Christ, for the love of God and the love of his people. It was my mom who would, before I'd go to sleep at night, would be the one who would read the Bible stories to me and teach me not just what we believe, but why we believed it. And so in testimony to her and to all those mothers here today and to those who go before us, let's talk about the Christian mothers and the mothers of faith that we see in the Scripture and talk about some of the qualities that they share. One of them is, first of all, that the mothers we see are unashamed of the good news. They're unashamed of the good news. They live the gospel out in their own lives in ways in which they're not embarrassed or afraid of letting others know that they are Christian women. We see that, of course, in the testimony of Lois and Eunice. These are, as I said, Timothy, we know a lot about him, not just from Scripture, but beyond Scripture, from the first and second centuries, the impact that he had in faith. And he himself gave testimony to the impact that his mother had and his grandmother. These were the women who were early apostles and disciples of Jesus Christ. They left Jerusalem to bring the gospel to Macedonia and to Asia Minor. And there, in the towns that they lived in, they gave their faith and life to others around them and were leaders of the church. And, of course, this young man, Timothy, when Paul came through, Timothy now gets adopted and trained by Paul to be a pastor and a teacher in his community. And he attributes Timothy's faith and life in faith to these women, to Lois and to Eunice, and their faithfulness and their continued faithfulness. And you see not just his mother, but his grandmother, that this is a chain of custody of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that they have entrusted mother to daughter, daughter to son. And mothers in faith, and mothers who have a faith that is a legacy to their children, are not ashamed that they follow Jesus Christ. They are bold about being known as women of God. And I think we are encouraged by that. We see that not just in their lives. We see that in the lives of Hannah and Sarah, all these different women. Hannah, who gives birth to Samuel, who became one of God's greatest prophets and priests. And it is her testimony we see in Scripture as well, her training of Samuel and her encouragement of him. We go on. Not only is their faith, are they unashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ that leads to salvation, but their faith, as Paul says here in verse 4, they had sincere faith, a faith that is sincerely lived. Sincerely lived. How many of you remember the comic strip Peanuts? You guys remember Peanuts? Yeah. Only one person knows Charlie Brown in his church.
That was Charles Schulz.
Yeah, Charles Schulz, who was a Christian. One of the things, Charlie Brown, there was the different shows on as when I was a kid at the different holidays. And around Halloween, they would have the one about the Great Pumpkin. Do you guys know about the Great Pumpkin? And it was Linus, I think, in that trip, Charlie Brown's best friend who always carried the blanket around with him, who I'm talking about, the little blue blanket. And it was him who believed in the Great Pumpkin. And he would wait every Halloween for the appearance of the Great Pumpkin. Whoever had the greatest pumpkin patch, he believed, would the Great Pumpkin would visit and see, you know, and grant his blessing. And so every year, Linus would wait up to try to behold the Great Pumpkin and his arrival. And every year, Linus was disappointed, wasn't he? The Great Pumpkin never arrived. And Charlie Brown questions Linus about that. And it says to him, you know, why do you keep doing that? You know, it's clearly not right, and it's not true. And Linus says, Charlie Brown, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as it's sincere, right? And and Charles Schulz, who was a Christian, was illustrating how ridiculous that statement is. It matters if what you believe is true, whether it's sincere or not. Yet Paul here is commending, but if you do believe in something true, you ought to be able to sincerely live out that faith, that your life might be aligned to what that faith asks of you. And so we understand that, I said, Christian mothers not only teach their children what they believe, and churches are very famous for that, Sunday schools are very famous for giving us all the what's, you know, what happened in the Bible, who is in the Bible, you know, what, and memorizing scripture and thinking about stories and knowing the what's. But a good Christian mother with a sincere faith is helping their children understand the why's. Why we believe, why we trust the evidence of history, the evidence of those who saw it. Why we believe that Jesus Christ is adequate for salvation and that he covers our sins with his own blood. Christian mothers can help their children understand not just the what's of faith, but the why's. The places where children are most absent in churches are those places where parents have not helped their children understand why they believe and have only given them the bare facts of Scripture. And we seek, you know, here and in other places, we try to make sure that we are conveying to our young people not only what they should believe and what they should do, but why they should do it and how they should live. And Paul is telling us that that is what a sincere faith truly is. It is one that is lived out before the children. When I talk about sincere faith in this way, and when we talk to young parents, and one of the things that we've seen over and over and over again, and study after study has shown this to be true, that how you live out your faith as a parent matters to your children as well. See, most people have some type of faith. Majority of people in the United States even profess Christian faith. But when they're children, no matter how old, you can start as young as little Allison and Isaiah and ask them questions about their mom and dad's faith. And you can ask them all the way up through college. Ask students, tell me about your parents' faith. It's astonishing what we see. Because when kids talk about their parents' faith, they cannot look into your heart. They cannot look into your mind. So they judge your faith not on what you really think or what you really believe or say you believe. They judge your faith on what you do. You hear me, church? And what we've seen and discovered is those parents who are committed to a life of faith in community with a local church, the more they are present, the more they attend worship, the more they are present in the household of faith, the more their children believe them to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The less they show up, the less their children believe that their parents are genuine and sincere in their beliefs. Do you hear me, church? This is not me saying this. This is study after study after study. In other words, there is a correlation between church involvement and what your children think about what you really believe. Because they see it in how you live every day. And those mothers who were present and active in their local community of faith, in their local churches, and their children saw them there time and time and time again, those children believed their parents to have deep and profound faith. The parents who gave nominal assent to Christianity, who showed up once or twice and were infrequent in their attendance, their children had doubts about the efficacy of faith, had doubts about their parents' faithfulness. They didn't say that their parents had no faith, but they judged their faith of their parents to be of little consequence to their parents' life and living. And that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, we do not become Christians by attending church. But James says that without works, faith is revealed to be dead inside, hollow, of little impact, of little import, not a living faith. And we see that God does know what's in our hearts, of course. And he judges both by our actions and our heart. But our children do not have access to our inner thoughts. How many of us have caught our spouses trying to read our minds? Anybody done that here? And they're not very good at it, are they? Yes or no? We'll leave that one lie. But the reality is we don't know what's in other hearts. And our children who are sorting out life and sorting out faith and issues of faith, they watch us. And a mother who sincerely lives out her faith in her own life makes a huge impact in their child's life. The same is, of course, true of fathers. It's why I love here at Lanes Mills, we have you men, you know, being present here, working and active. What happened yesterday, men serving together, being known as part faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, makes a huge impact in the young men of this church. Nolan, you know, who was serving yesterday, is not there just because Dad made him come, though that may be true. He wanted to come. Yeah, he wanted to come because he wanted to be with men. And he wanted to learn how to be a man, and more importantly, a man of God. And we want that for all of our children, don't we? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah.
And so living out our faith matters. Even if there are some days where what I'm talking about up here and what we're participating in don't reach us and don't move us emotionally, it is of extreme value to those around us that we are just showing up and being present. So faith that is sincerely lived. A third thing that I see in a Christian mother who's given a legacy of faith to their children is they are undaunted by suffering. Suffering is a part of life. And yet, when we see in the womb of God, they find a strength in the Lord where suffering, while it is troubling, while it causes all the pain and anguish that it causes in anyone else, they are undaunted in their faith and their ability to serve by the suffering they experience. There are so many women of the Bible, and we think of suffering so much oftentimes as persecution or physical harm or bodily ailment. But I want to tell you about a woman's suffering in the scripture that you probably have not thought about too much. There's a woman in the scripture by the name of Jochebed. How many of you can place who that is? Anybody? I would have had a hard time doing that as well if I had not thought about this. And once I tell you who she is, you'll be like, oh yeah. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And you want to talk about a faithful mother and a mother whose heart had to have been full of anguish until Moses' adulthood. You know, if you know the story of Moses, you know that there was prophecies that had arisen among the Jewish people about a savior that would arise from the people. And of course, we know historically that was Moses. We know that at that time, the Pharaoh of that time decided that the Israelites were too fertile, were causing problems in the nation of Egypt, in their slavery, and so he decided to kill the male children of the Hebrew slaves. And Moses was a baby. And so we know the story of Moses who was placed in that woven basket. We know the story of how his sister kind of watched that basket on the shoreside, how the Egyptian princess picked up Moses and adopted her as her own. And then she put out a call for nursemaids so that baby could be fed. You know, women who were lactating, they gave out the cry. And of course, Moses' own mother answered that call, Jochebed. And she was picked. And so she went to serve in the palace of the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And she cared for her own son who had been adopted by another woman who called her boy her son. And if she made it known that that was her son would be killed. So in anguish, she had to watch her own boy call another woman mother. A woman who was privy and party to the murder of all her friend's children. You hear me, church? When we talk about anguish and about suffering, we forget women like her, who for the sake of her own son surrendered some of the most cherished moments in a child's life to this Egyptian foreign woman. It was this foreign woman who elevated Moses up to be a prince in her nation. It was Moses who gave her every good gift. Or it was this woman who gave Moses every good gift and every rich and every luxury. Well, once Moses' infancy and he was weaned, Jochebed had to go back to her house and watch her son raise and take his first steps from afar, if at all. She had to watch every achievement and every moment in that son's life publicized throughout the whole nation of Egypt while she sat in her own hovel in tears every night. Think about that woman and her suffering. See, women of God are undaunted by their suffering because she knew God had a purpose for her son. And she would surrender her hopes, her dreams, and just the loving touch of her own son to put her arms around him just for the sake of God and his salvation that was awaiting the nation. Pretty amazing, isn't it, church? Undaunted by that woman's suffering. Women of God are undaunted in their suffering. We will have you will have pain as a woman, not just obviously childbirth, all those things that we men have no understanding of. But you'll also watch as your child grows, as they cause wounds, not on the outside, but on the inside. And you endure them for their sake. You allow them to take them steps and feel that pain in their lives when you could easily prevent it because you know that pain is necessary for their growth and their maturity. Christian mother who has a legacy of faith for their child is undaunted by suffering. The final thing I want to say is that it is entrusted to others. Women of faith, mothers take time to give their faith to their children. We talk about it in various different ways, but again, going back to Lois and Eunice, it's kind of, they took time to train their son and to make sure their son was trained for a life of ministry and service to the world. And you as mothers are obligated by Christ to train your children not to be good sons, but to be servants of the Most High God. And to be serving not only God and His throne, but to the men and women around them in life. The world needs men and women like that, don't they, congregation? Yes or no?
Yes.
They need men and women who are willing to step out in faith, to see God at work around them. And they will become these things because of the ministry of our mothers. Our fathers sure as well, and we'll talk about them later. But they need your love and care. And one of the hardest things to do, I know, as a mom, is to let them go. And let them feel those things in the world that they need to feel and experience to become the people they need to become. But it is through your service and your acts that you will entrust to them your faith, and you will entrust that faith to the world through them. I thank you, moms, for your work and your service. And just as all of us here, we thank God for our own mothers, for the way they've trained us and they set us on the course of life. We know they weren't perfect, neither are we. But we know that God worked through them to do good work in us. And we're not to disappoint them, our own mothers. We're to live life in a way that would honor them and their faith that they gave us. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for our mothers, for our grandmothers. We thank you for the women who have shaped our lives, but have also shaped our hearts to love unconditionally, in spite of pain and disappointment. We thank you for those women of faith that you have given testimony to in your word, and there's far more than we have not mentioned. We thank you for their grace and their compassion and their sincerity in their heart. Lord, we want that faith to be mirrored in us, and I ask you to bless the women here today, and especially those who have children at home. Grant them your grace, and in those frustrating moments, in those moments where they are near to tears, allow them a glimpse of your presence and your joy in their service. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.